Praise God, we are looking at the Word of God in the area of praise and worship. And this is the third message on praise and worship. And we're combining the third and the second message together on one tape. And next week we can have all the tapes available for you. As we look at praise and worship, in our first session, we share about the importance of worship. That the call to worship is the highest call God can give any human being. It's higher than a call to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. The call to worship is the highest call. And unless we are worshippers of God first, we can forget about ministry. Because the end of all ministry is in God. And it must begin in God, and it must end in God. And that can only take place when we worship God. In our second message, we share about how worship is like a covering upon our lives. And how worship is not just something we give to God, but worship is something that protects us in the greatness of God's presence. Because God's presence is so powerful that unless we and our human flesh has some sort of covering, we will die. And we have shown how in the book of Leviticus chapter 16 that just like the high priest entering the most holy place with a cloud of incense, that worship is like the cloud of incense that covers us so that we can enter into God's presence and not be harmed by it. And the greater our worship, the greater He can manifest His presence. This morning, we are going to talk about what His presence and the glory of His presence is like. So that we can understand more of this presence that He can increase in our life. And we will look at three different incidents in the Bible. There are three main incidents in the Bible when the glory of God came down upon His people. And so we're going to look at those examples in order to gain some understanding. There are three examples in the Bible when the glory of God came down. Of course, the fullness of all His glory is found in Jesus. But we have the Old Testament that gives us a pattern to understand the glory that is in Jesus, the fullness of it. And there are three times in the Old Testament when the glory came. So let's look at the first one. In the book of Leviticus, the book of Exodus, last week was Leviticus, Exodus, chapter 40. The last book, last chapter in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40, all the things and the different parts of the Old Testament tabernacle was completed. And Moses was now going to put it together for God. And so we have in chapter 40, and we read first the ahead in where the glory came. In chapter 40, verse 34 to 38. Exodus 40, verse 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was taken up when they did not journey, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now notice in verse 34-35 that the glory fill the whole place so thick that Moses couldn't enter. And what we want to see is what brought forth that glory. Because some of the principles that brought forth the glory will work in our life too. And let's look at Exodus chapter 40. All the things that precede, you notice that in verse 2, it says, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And so he starts setting up all the tent of meeting and all the various instruments. But there is a repetition that is found in Exodus chapter 40 that we want to pay attention to. And the repetition is there not just because the Bible is redundant, but rather because there is an emphasis that the Holy Spirit put down that He doesn't want us to miss. And that's found in verse 16, Exodus 40 verse 16. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Basically, he put together all the pieces of the tabernacle that were made. It took 1 year for them to make the whole thing and all the various pieces. He put it together and he anointed each piece with oil. Verse 16, Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And then he goes on to talk about the various things. That's why in verse 17, it came to pass in the first month of the second year. This is the second year of them coming out of Israel. It took them 1 whole year to build all the pieces. In verse 19, the last phrase, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then verse 21, the last phrase, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 23, the last phrase, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 25, the last phrase. Now, you read together with me. As the Lord had commanded Moses. And then verse 27, together. As the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 29, last phrase. As the Lord had commanded Moses. Last one, together. Verse 32. As the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 33, so Moses finished the work. And then in verse 33, when Moses finished, so let's say that together, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's say that again, as the Lord commanded Moses. And then the verse before the glory came is, Moses finished the work. That's the first time that we see the glory of God manifest coming into the tabernacle. Why did the Holy Spirit put so many times, as the Lord had commanded Moses, as the Lord had commanded Moses, as the Lord had commanded Moses? Not that the Bible wants to be redundant. The Holy Spirit is putting a scripture there so that we can see clearly what He's trying to tell us. And this is a message that the Holy Spirit tries to put in Exodus 40. That glory that came down is tied to the glory that is present when the Word of God is obeyed. When we obey the Word of God and do exactly according to what God wants us to do in His Word, whether it be His written Word or His spoken command to our life, you know, all of us can hear the voice of God to a certain extent. And all of us have instructions from the Lord. We've got to discern it in our prayer, what God wants us to do in this life. It may not be God's will for us to build the tabernacle the way Moses had to build the tabernacle. But God will have something in our life for us to do and to be. And when we complete all that God has commanded us to do, you can expect a level of glory to come. See, every time we talk about the glory of God, the glory of God, we didn't realize that there are a threefold part in the glory of God. The first part is the glory that is found in the Word, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The second glory is found when the second time when the glory of God came is found in the passage that all of us are familiar with, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And the chapter that we want to look at is 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And this time, we're looking at a different scenery. But this time is the building of the Temple of Solomon. They've done all the pieces, did all the work, anointed everything. And of course, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 1, it says Solomon had finished all the work. But now something else is taking place here. And the passage that we want to read is from verse 13 to 14 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It says in verse 13, "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord fill the house." Oh, I love to have been there. Again, the second time, the glory of God fill the house of God. And a few times in the ministry, since 1976, a few times we've seen the glory of God come upon a congregation. And one remarkable time that always stay in my mind was when our church had the first 24-hour worship. It was a holiday the day before, and it so happened to be on a Saturday. So it was Friday right through Saturday evening. Friday evening to Saturday evening. And we had 24-hour worship for the first time. And so when we organized it, we organized the musicians in team. And so we had them come every 2 hourly. And a lot of people stay right through because it was our first time. So we worshiped God for 24 hours. And that Sunday was one Sunday I will never forget. When we gathered together the next morning after that day of 24-hour worship, and we could feel something different that Sunday. Very tangible. It was like God's presence was increased. And you and I know now why it could increase, because there was enough cloud of glory to protect us from His presence. And God could bring more of His presence, a greater degree of His presence. Is it present? The presence of God can be measured in degrees, because the presence of God is tied to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God can be measured. Remember, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha had double portion of the measure. And Jesus had the Spirit without measure. But we all have the Spirit according to the measure of Christ's gift to our lives. So the Spirit comes in measures. The presence of God also comes in measures. And that Sunday, we could feel something different the moment we stepped through the door. And we had the worship. And then, right towards the end of the worship, everyone felt something came into the place. And when the musicians were worshipping halfway, and then just as I stood up to take over part of the worship and bring it to the ministry of the word, and when I stand up to say something, when I say a few words, boom, the whole choir went under the power at the back. And people could feel a wind of God blow through the place. I mean, some of their hair were even moving. And shoom. They felt the wind of God move from the left side of the auditorium to the right side. And the whole group of people fell under the power, shoom, when the glory cloud came through. And one of the men who was doing videotaping was wearing glasses. And then when the glory cloud passed by, his eyes were painful for a moment, and he has to take off his glasses and then put them on again. And he found it very hard to see, and he got to call his assistant to continue the videotaping. And the next day, he went to the doctors to have it checked up, because his eye became painful with his glasses on. And the doctors checked and said, the reason your eyes are painful is because you don't need glasses anymore, and by wearing them, they're making your eyes painful. And he was not even asking for healing. Right? It was just the presence of God that just came through. And it was thick. So, that was the one remarkable incident that we never ever forget. And that Sunday, I couldn't preach at all. You can't preach because everyone was just under the power and the presence of God. You know, every few words I'd say, boom. You know, so, I myself just knelt down, worshiped the Lord. And just went on throughout that day. And we all never got out until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a pretty long service that we had that day. And the presence of God just came in. Now here in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the presence of God was there. And here they are prepared to worship God. And it says here in verse 13, 14, that when they make one sound to the Lord, singing and praising, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue. The priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That's powerful. They couldn't sing anymore. What a presence. Now, you notice something different. That glory came because of praise and worship. The glory that we read earlier in Exodus 40 came when Moses had done everything that the Lord had commanded. And Moses did as the Lord has commanded. Now, this glory came as a result of praise and worship. And I would classify that to be the second area or type or content within the glory of God. There's the glory that comes because of praise and worship. So number one, you have the glory that comes because of the word. Number two, you have the glory that comes because of praise and worship. It's different. Now, of course, when the presence of God comes, we don't feel the difference in that way. The presence is a presence. We just enjoy the presence. We are so awestruck by the presence of God. And in experience-wise, the presence of God just feels like the presence of God. However, in the depths of the Spirit, there are differences. The glory that came through the Word, the glory that came through praise and worship. And there is a third area of glory. Let's look at that. And it's still in 2 Chronicles. In chapter 6, Solomon prayed a very long and anointed prayer. In fact, that whole chapter was his prayer. When the glory of God came, Solomon was standing outside the tabernacle at the outer court. He was praying. And he started praying a long and anointed prayer that ended only at the end of chapter 6. In verse 41, 42, he says, "Now therefore arise, O Lord, to your resting place." That was a song we sang just now. "So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise." Right? And so it says, "Arise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You and the ark of your strength, Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. Chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. Now we were taught that, wow, the glory cloud is so powerful. Praise and worship was there. And we already cannot enter the temple. The priest couldn't minister because of the glory of God. And you thought that was it. But there was more to come. At the end of Solomon's prayer, fire came down from heaven. It's a long distance for you to travel. And for the scientists, if that fire has to travel from somewhere in the universe called heaven, right to the spot where Solomon is, if it travels at the speed of light, obeying Einstein's law, God would have to send it forth billions of years ago for the exact timing to hit at the time when Solomon had it. Of course, God need not have done it. He could have just instantly created that light, that fire, right over the spot where the burnt offering is. But it's interesting, some of the things of the Bible events that the scientists try to explain away. Like, for example, when Joshua was pursuing all those people, when hail and all this, the fire and brimstone came down and consumed Sodom and Gomorrah, and scientists say those are the meteorites that fell, a big meteor or something fell down, and and they said, well, that's a physical scientific explanation. But do you know, for the timing to be so precise, at the exact time when Lot left the town of Sodom and Gomorrah, at the precise moment when Abraham had already prayed and interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah and didn't get through because he asked for 10, they couldn't find 10 righteous, at the very moment, then, and as Lot left the place, then only the meteorite fell down. You know how long that meteorite must have been traveling before that incident happened, before Genesis. That would have been an even greater miracle for the precise timing. It would be just like trying to find a needle, right, in a big on the earth, and the timing is so precise. Of course, we know that God is in control and beyond that. But here we see fire coming down and consuming the sacrifice that were there, and as he finished praying. And everyone was already in the glory cloud. I don't think the glory cloud has lifted yet. It was still there. The priests were just standing in awe or slain under the power. In awe, whatever their position, everyone was in awe struck by the glory of God. And as if that was not enough, suddenly comes this ball of lightning from on high. They go, shoom! Of course, I'm not sure whether that is the exact sound effect. But it goes, shoom! And the whole burnt offering was consumed. But this is in verse 1 and 2. It says, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Look, a second time. This is the second glory that came. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And this time in verse 2, the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That must be some glory. It's so thick that they couldn't enter. And the only incident, I read lots of books, thousands of Christian books. There's one book that I read where they talk about this glory in their present Pentecostal experience. That was when, in one of Kenneth Higgins' prayer meeting, and he talked about how the glory of God was so thick. And I think Jerry Savelle and all that were there too. And then one of these pastors who were there, was outside the meeting, and those who were inside the meeting were not fully aware of it because they were caught up into the spirit realm, and the glory of God had filled that room. So one of the pastors who were outside the room saw some sort of cloud, and then he says, what is that? Must be the glory of God. And then he went near the cloud and he tried to go into the room. And so when he grew near, he found that he couldn't go in because the cloud was so thick, it was so tangible, it was like pressing against the wall. And so what did he do? He went far from afar, and it was either Kenneth Hagin or Jerry Savelle was telling this story, and he went from afar in order to run through the cloud of glory. So he went from afar, and he ran in, and guess what? When he hit the glory cloud, he bounced off. He just couldn't enter. That just gives a little bit of meaning to the phrase there, the glory of God was there so thick that the priest could not enter. Now that third glory cloud came at the end of prayer. And I would say that it is caused and indirectly linked to prayer. And so we have a threefold glory cloud. One comes as a result of the word. And Moses did all that the Lord had commanded him. The second is the result of praise and worship. The third is the result of prayer, anointed prayer. There are three areas of glory, and the glory is the presence of God. And that explains something in the Christian life here. And you notice that some Christians don't have all three developed in their life. Some Christians are strong in the word, but they're not really good at worship, or they don't worship God much, and they don't pray much. They are, quote-unquote, sometimes considered word people. Their prayer life with God is very little, few minutes a day. And their worship, I'm talking about personal life with God, personal worship also very little. But when it comes to Bible reading, they do a lot of it. And because of what they do in their personal life, there is a degree of God's presence in their life. But what we understand today, that presence is caused by the word in their life. And then some other Christians who don't seem to read much of the word, they only read a little bit of the word here and there, once in a while, irregularly. But yet when you come to know them as Christians, you sense that they have a presence of God in their life too. And you know that they don't read the word much. But yet they had the presence of God. And you say, how is that so? Sometimes some of the things they say and do don't even seem to be fully in line with the word. And their knowledge of the word is very little too. Yet they had the presence of God. Because if you look into their personal life, they may lack the word, but they may be fantastic in prayer.